there's something universal and there's something very unique about what we're about to do. Baruch Hashem, thinking back over many, many years of Shiurim before various Yom Tovim, certainly including and certainly not limited to Purim, a theme that we've come back to time and again is that we gain so much from Purim when we have the opportunity to prepare in advance. There are certain types of preparation that need to happen. The physical preparation of all the food and all the logistics, that is inescapable, that we know needs to happen. There's a different type of preparation that's deeply important, but not as urgent, and that is to prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, intellectually for the Yontif, because we know that the more we prepare, the more we get out of it. Ein hachana b'li kedusha, as Rav Kook writes. And that if we want to be able to on the other end of the Yontif, to emerge from a Yontif, and I've shared this line in the past, nishnach Yontif avek, no nach Yontif harayin, if we want to be able to emerge from Yontif with something absorbed, not just another Yontif in the rearview mirror and pretty pictures, but to be uplifted, to be changed, to be internally polished in some way. So the Yontif is an opportunity, and the more we prepare for it, the more we enable ourselves to grow from it. And so it's always hard before Yontif to make the time to come out. It's yasher koach to each and every one of you for carving out that time on a busy evening. And like I was saying before, there's something universal about this. There's a universal need to seek to prepare so that we can grow. And it has a unique flavor this year, certainly. Thinking back to last Purim and what we thought COVID was last Purim, and the way we thought that if we didn't hold hands with a person with whom we're shoulder to shoulder, we're all good. When you think about Purim in particular, Purim is a Yom Tov of Simcha. And definitely are lots of different feelings and thoughts that are doubtlessly going through our minds as we begin to, think about the practical preparations of the Mishloach Manos and the Suda, and the costumes have to happen, especially if there are kids at home of a particular age. And it's familiar, and it's at the same time a little surreal. And if we're thinking about the bigger picture, it's not only the Mishloach Manos and the costume that strikes us as the same but different and sort of out of sorts, but maybe we're thinking about the Simchas Purim. And what's Simchas Purim supposed to look like exactly? So I think they're very valid questions. We're not going to address the costumes in particular, but the larger picture, which costumes and Suda and Mishloach Manos are all a piece of trying to wrap our arms around Simchas Purim. And, something that's a perspective that I've heard from Twersky several times over the last number of months, and he's raised it in different contexts and thinking about different COVID issues. And I think it's a powerful lens, and I think it has particular relevance for us as we're about to dive in to making sense of Simchas Purim 5781. So he's pointed out that it's true that historically, not literally unprecedented, but certainly in many ways this is unprecedented in our lifetimes, in terms of the facts and the details, but in terms of the kochos hanefesh that these situations call upon us to bring to the fore, the kochos hanefesh that we need, and the nisyonos that are presented, challenges and opportunities, it's new applications of timeless kochos hanefesh. That's what he's pointed out many times. It's new applications of the need we always have for self-discipline. New applications of the need we always have to balance long-term and short-term. New applications of the need we always have to be able to, take into account things that we can see and things that are obvious and things that are inobvious, and so on and so forth. it's a different guise, but fundamentally it's the kochos and nefesh that we always need are being called upon again in unique circumstances. So the details of the circumstances are certainly unique in many ways, but the kochos and nefesh are new applications of the same kochos nefesh that we have always needed, and that we will always need long after COVID is a memory. And if it's true for kochos and nefesh, I think when we think about Yom Tov, it might also be true that the themes and the sort of the conceptual underpinning and the ideas of they're always there in Purim, and some of the dynamics of the ideas, they're always roiling when you try to figure out try and make sense of Purim. It's those the timeless ideas of Purim we can apply uniquely this year. So I think, in other words, that if we're trying to figure out, well, how do we make sense of Simchas Purim 5781, and what's that going to look like? And I don't know, I can go through the motions, but how am I supposed to feel? I think if we seek to understand Simchas Purim in general better, it'll give us a great insight into how to make it work and work gloriously this year. So let's learn. Let's learn a little bit about Purim, and hopefully it will it'll help for this year and Amir Tzashem for many healthy decades to come. I'm going to put some Marim Komos up on the screen. For those who like text, feel free to follow along. For those who do not, feel free to just listen. But before I even put up any Svarim, any text on the screen, here's a question and a riddle. The question is easy, the riddle is perhaps more nuanced. So the four mitzvahs of Purim, what are they? Anyone give me one or two? You're just going to have to unmute yourself. Yeah. Matanot le'avyonim. Good. Ve'gam. Sudat Purim, nachon, mishteh v'simcha. So matanot le'avyonim. And the mishteh, the sudas Purim. And two, and they're also, just if you liked mnemonics, also mems. Right, Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Manos, Mikra Megillah, Matanos Avyonim, and Mishta V'Seuda. So those are the four mitzvahs. The four classic mitzvahs of Purim. The four mems. Now here's the riddle. So that's the basic elements. Now here the riddle is to think about which of those four is not like the other. And this is, I mean this in a sophisticated way. Is there something that three of them share that one of them doesn't? Is there some way in which one of them is an outlier? There are probably a lot of great answers to this question. Yeah, what is it? How so, Sharon? How is Megillah an outlier? Okay. So the three... You're saying those two matzahs have Yonim, Mishloach Manos, and Suda all involve food. And in the Megillah, there's no food involved. That's a great point. And let me take a twist on that also. Then maybe you have more ideas. Anyone. It also means that those first three cost money. You need to budget for matzahs have Yonim, Mishloach Manos, and for Suda. The Mikra Megillah is free. Someone has to own a Megillah, but that's a one-time cost, and I don't have to own the Megillah in general. This year with COVID, perhaps it'll be a little more complicated if one is quarantined without a cloth. But in general, Megillah is free. The other three require a budget. And as you said, Megillah is foodless. It talks about food, but the other three actually involve food or paying for food. Yeah, it's great. So in those senses, Mikra Megillah is the outlier. Any other thoughts? I'm sorry, Shoshana? Well, that's interesting. That's a great point. That's a great point. So you have a lot of differences between, we're all piling on the Megillah versus the other three. Megillah is the only one that doesn't involve food. Megillah is the only one that doesn't have a budget, a cost attached to it. Megillah is not necessarily, we seek, if possible, whenever possible, to fulfill Mikra Megillah in the context of a group. Ideally, it should be with a minion. But you're saying, even when you do that, we're all sort of in parallel. I mean, we're all there, but we're not interacting mm-hmm. with each other, hopefully. Not schmoozing with your neighbor while during Mikra Megillah. Where the other ones are not just we're next to people, but we're actually interacting. We're giving b'shalach manos, we're receiving, and we're giving, receiving matanos of yonim. And the suda, you're eating together with other people. You're not just, you know, side by side. Yeah, that's a very good point. And as you said, Michal, those three are maaseh. They're all active. And Mikra Megillah, for the vast majority of us, Mikra Megillah is passive. We're just listening to someone else read. Anyone want to take a contrarian position? Anyone want to pick out a different one? How so? That's interesting. So, Mishloach Manos, you're saying is... it's right. It's a unique Purim mitzvah. Every yontif has a suda. Every yontif we give tzedakah. Every yontif there's a kriyas haTorah that's relevant to the yontif. So I want to. We're going to come back to the uniqueness of Megillah, but I want to first follow up on the uniqueness of Mishloach Manos. Actually, with a twist, I like that you put it that it's a Purim unique mitzvah. It's not shared with other Yom Tovim. And here's a sort of another alternative way of formulating that. Take a look. Here's a line that appears in the Gemara in several places. Here it's in Pesachim, but it's elsewhere too. The Gemara makes a comment about we know that the halachas come in two flavors. There are dinim d'oraisa and dinim d'rabbanan. You know, there are halachas that Kadosh Baruch Hu mandates, whether they appear explicitly in the Chumash or they're alluded to in the Chumash, and there was those who call dinim d'oraisa, dinim min haTorah. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu also authorized the Rabbanim to legislate further, to create different dinim drabanan. And there are a lot of isurim drabanan, like the isur of muktzah on Shabbos, and there are a lot of mitzvahs drabanan, like Ner Chanukah, like Arba Kosis on Pesach, like Netilas Yadayim, and like all the mitzvahs of Purim. Now the Gemara has a principle that's meant to govern the way that the Chachamim legislate and craft Dinim Drabanan. And here's that rule. Kol D'Tikun Rabanan, Ke'ein D'Oraisa Tikun. Whenever the Chachamim, whenever the Rabanan are Takon, whenever they legislate, whenever they craft a new Dinim Drabanan, Ke'ein D'Oraisa Tikun. They seek as much as possible to be Misakein, to craft it, Ke'ein D'Oraisa, patterned after Mitzvah D'Oraisa. Rather than just they're going to craft and create a Din D'Rabbanan to solve a certain problem, to address a certain issue, to achieve a certain purpose. But in terms of the way that they design it, what the rules are, what the parameters are, so they're going to seek to, as much as possible, make it an extension of a pre-existing D'Oraisa pattern. Ke'en D'Oraisa Tikun. A lot of examples of that. And I think part of what Sarah was pointing out is three out of the four mitzvahs of Purim fit into that pattern very neatly. Matanos of Yonim let's start with Su'udas Purim. So Su'udas Purim is a din drabanan to have a su'ud on Purim, but it's obviously patterned after the din of Su'udas Yom Tov by the Yom Tovim D'Oraisa, and that's a din D'Oraisa. The fact you have a su'ud on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, that's a real din D'Oraisa. So Su'udas Purim is ke'en D'Oraisa. It's patterned after the D'Oraisa. A Mikra Megillah is a form of Kriyas HaTorah, and it's a form of Talmud Torah. So it's certainly an aspect of a Din D'Oraisa. So Matanos of Yonim, well, that, more than just patterned after, that is, that every time you give Matanos of Yonim, you are fulfilling the Mitzvah D'Oraisa of Tzedakah. Matanos of Yonim takes it a step further in the sense that Min HaTorah is a Mitzvah of Tzedakah, but I'm not obligated necessarily to give Tzedakah on a particular day. If there's just the Dindaraisa of Tzedakah, I could fulfill the mitzvah Daraisa of Tzedakah without necessarily giving Tzedakah on Purim. So the Dindarabana of Matan Seh of Yonim says you got to make sure to fulfill Tzedakah on Purim and to a particular amount, a particular minimum amount. Okay. But again, the other those three mitzvos, Seudas Purim, Nikra Megillah, and Matan Seh of Yonim, are very intertwined with Diem Daraisa. They actually are examples of Diem Daraisa, or at the very least, patterned after. Mishloach Manos is sort of, like you said, Mishloach Manos doesn't really appear in any of the Yontif, and the truth, it doesn't really appear in other mitzvahs Daraisa in general. What is that exactly? It's sort of like, it's a beautiful mitzvah, Drabanan, but it doesn't seem to be necessary. There are mitzvahs of giving gifts, like Matnas Kahuna. This is pretty different. Yeah. What do you say, Chaya? That is true. And Miguel, there's more of it. There's a nighttime version and the daytime version, and let's come back to that too. So we have a lot of differences between Megillah and the other three, and let's catalog them, and then we're going to jump back into follow up on the Mishloach Manos. So Megillah, we said, Megillah is the only one that doesn't require food. Megillah is the only one that doesn't have an annual budget. And Megillah is the only one that isn't really active and doesn't really involve interaction with other people. And Megillah is the only one that needs to happen twice. Mishloach Manos is an outlier in the sense that it's sort of out of pattern. It seems like it's just like a Drabanan original. Chazal just created a whole new concept. And you sort of wonder why. So I want to take a look at something, take a look with you at a series of three brief passages of the Rambam. Two in his Halacha Hilchas Megillah, his Halachas of Purim, and one actually is in Hilchas Chanukah, but we're going to see it has a lot to teach us about Purim. And I think we're going to see a fascinating pattern emerge. So let's take a look. Let's begin with the Mishloach Manos. See, here the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, source number two. Chayiv Adam L'shloach Shtei Manos, a requirement to send two manos to someone else. He says either it could be two servings of meat or two different types of food. Mishloach manos ish reihu. Shtei manos ish echad. Okay? Two manos to one person. Achal marber l'shloach reih meshubach. He says if you want to do more, it's certainly valuable. There's value to giving more than just mishloach manos to a single person. But the minimum shir, the minimum mishloach manos is two servings to one person. You'll notice, by the way, as an aside, the Rambam, a halachic note, the Rambam is not assuming there has to be two different types of food, nor is he assuming that they have to be two different brachos. That's a halachic urban legend. You notice his first, his top example is shtei manos basar, two servings of meat. Okay. Here's what's interesting. He doesn't just talk of the mitzvah Mishloach Manos in the abstract. He puts it into context. Because the word, the underlined word that begins this the sentence is v'chein. And so too there's the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. What do you mean so too? So let's back up a little bit and see the setting into which the Rambam placed the jewel of Mishloach Manos. He begins by the previous couple of sentences to talk of the mitzvah of Seudah. The mitzvah of Seudas Purim has to happen on the day of the 14th, which includes specifically the day, as opposed to the night. Seudas Purim shasar b'layla lo yatze dechafas. The Rambam is quoting a Gemara that you must eat the Seudas Purim during the day. You cannot eat it the night before. Also, can't eat it the night after. It has to be Yudalid, among others, opposed to Tezvav. If you want to extend your Seudah into the night of Shushan Purim, by all means, this year it's obviously a little more complicated because of Tezvav Shabbos. In a typical year, you need to start and have a significant part, if not the whole Suda, at least a significant part of the Suda, you know, before Shkia, where it's still Yom Yudalad, the 14th of Adar Purim. If you continue, you continue. But it needs to happen the student needs to be happy on the day of the 14th, not the night before and not the night after. Not only the night after. Okay. And then he goes on to discuss the mitzvah, what's the suda supposed to look like. He says you have basar and yayin. Sounds like a suda's yantav, basar and yayin. He says you have a lot of basar, a lot of yayin. Okay. An enriched, enhanced suda's yantav. And then with that, he goes on to say, v'chein, and so too, chayv adam l'shloch shtei manos basar, etc. So you have a mitzvah of suda's purim, and so too, you have a mitzvah of shloch manos. What do you mean, so too? They both apply on Purim, but they're unrelated mitzvahs. The next mitzvah Rambam talks about afterwards is Matan Sevyonim. In the next paragraph, he doesn't say, and so too there's a mitzvah of Matan Sevyonim. He starts a new sentence. And there's a mitzvah of Matan Sevyonim. What would it have to do with each other? What would it have to do with each other? You'll notice also, as we said, the Rambam says you can give any two types of food, shnei mini tavshil, shnei mini ochlin, but his sort of, that sounds like the ideal type of mishloach manos was specifically meat. Why? So within two centuries or so after the Rambam, late Rishonim and then early Achronim began to suggest. The Rambam is saying is that matanos, there aren't really four mitzvahs of Purim. There are really three mitzvahs of Purim. There's Mikra Megillah, there's Matan Sevyonim, and then there's Seuda. But Seuda on Purim is enhanced beyond, bigger and better, broader, I should say, than your typical Seudas Yom Tov. They say you have a Seuda, Chova Seuda Zu, is that you have Basar V'Yayin, and he says more, even more basar v'yayin than a typical yom tov. So just in terms of quantity, in terms of variety, su'uda na'ak if yesh atim se'yado, a very nice su'uda appropriate to whatever my budget may be. So you have a su'udas yom tov, and it's an enriched su'udas yom tov, but not just at my table of a lot of basar, a lot of yayin, a lot of nice food. There's another way in which we expand the su'uda, which is Mishloach Manos. And this is an idea I think maybe we've discussed in other shiurim in past years, an idea that the Trumas Hadeshin, a late Ashkenazi Rishon, lived in the 1400s, sort of picks up on, based on some of this Rambam. He says, the Mishloach Manos is meant to be, it's not just to give gifts. The Trumas Hadeshin raises the question, can I give clothing? Can I give something else? We don't necessarily only give food as gifts. Sometimes people give food as a gift. Let's say you go to someone for a meal. So you might bring, cookies or cake or pickles, or you might bring flowers or whatever. People bring lots of things. You give a birthday. Birthday presents are always food. Not necessarily. We give lots of different sorts of things as gifts. So the Truth Nation wants to know, Mishloach Manos, can I give, why does it have to be food? Why can't it be a gift? Whatever I think my neighbor will appreciate. Different people appreciate different things. So Truman Sadashin says, no, look at the Rambam. It's not just a mitzvah of giving gifts. It's a mitzvah of participating, providing for someone else's su'uda. And that's why it could be any food, any su'uda food anyhow. But I think Rambam says his number one example is basar, because basar is, as he just wrote before, the central axis in terms of the menu of the su'uda. So the idea is su'uda. I have a su'uda at my table with whoever's around my table. This year, perhaps, that will be a smaller group than I would have anticipated. But I am already, my su'uda extends beyond my table. When I drop off food for you, that means the idea is I'm helping to provide for your su'uda. So I'm participating. My su'uda's Purim is at many different tables. I'm having su'uda in my mouth, with my hands, at my table, but then also, I've distributed food to other su'udos. So I'm participating, and other people's food is going to be, their mishloach manos is going to be a part of my su'uda. So it's an expansion, it's an expanded, broadened type of su'udas yantif. So that's a perspective. A perspective that the Trumas Hadeshin and others see in this Rambam. And So number one, and this gives us a lot to think about. Number one, it gives us a sense that Sudas Purim is somehow broader, different, more expansive than any other Sudas Yontif. It solves a problem of Mishloach Manos, seems like an outlier. What type of mitzvah is that? Where did that come from? Where's the Ke'en Daraisa? Mishloach Manos is apparent afterwards. The answer is no. Mishloach Manos is part of the enhanced the mitzvah Daraisa of Sudas Yontif, and this is Sudas Yontif expanded, enhanced, broadened. It also means, in addition, that the essence of Mishloach Manos is Su'uda, which in turn is Simcha. As the Rambam opened this, HaSimcha v'HaMishta. Sudas Yom Tov is obviously, like any Sudas Yom Tov, is an expression of Simchas Yom Tov. Sudas Purim is obviously an expression of Simchas Purim. And Mishloach Manos is a part of that as well. So that's Rambam number one. We've just joined together, we've connected, we've linked Su'udas Purim and Mishloach Manos. Now we'll take a look at a second, I promised three Rambams, we'll take a look at a second Rambam, which is going to expand this linkage from a pair to a trio. Take a look, it's a very famous Rambam, at least the beginning of it. Here, this is a couple of lines down. Before we were reading from the Rambam's Halachas 14 and 15, now we're looking at Rambam's Halachas 17, Halachas Yud Zayin. Here on the Maariv Makomos page, it's item number 3. Mutav la'adam laharbos b'matonos avyonim mi laharbos b'su'udaso v'shiluach manos l'reyev. Now we said before that one of the many differences between Megillah versus the other three is that Megillah has no food involved and there's no financial outlay. I don't have to budget for Megillah. I can just go hear someone else read the Megillah. But the other three, there's a cost and there's an annual cost. So the Rambam here discusses, let's say if I'm stretched thin, I'm just going to spend the bare minimum on Su'uda, Mishloach Manos, Tal Zion. Okay, so that's what I have, and that's what I'm going to do. Let's say Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed me this year with some discretionary income, and I can do more than just give two servings of food to one person. I can do more than just give minimal tzedakah, $10-$20 to two aniyim. I can do more than just have a su'uda of a slice of bread and a slice of meat and a glass of wine. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the capacity to do more. So the question is, if I have more flexibility in my Purim budget, how should I be allocating funds among the three mitzvahs? The three mitzvahs that carry a cost. So the Rambam says, and the opening line of the Rambam, the his instructions are famous. He says, if Kadosh Baruch Hu blesses you with the financial capacity to spend more than the minimum on the mitzvahs, you're going to spend more than the minimum on each of the three mitzvahs, but you're going to want to put the weight, the primary discretionary funding is going to go to Matanos Avyonim. It should be marbe in Matanos Avyonim more so than in my Su'uda, more so than my Mishloach Manos. So that's famous, and that's we've all probably all received at least one or two fundraising letters from worthy organizations over the last couple of days that sport this line, and correctly so. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely accurate. We should, Rambam says, be if we're going to be able to spend extra on Sudas Purim and extra on Shalach Manos, that's great. Make sure you're spending even more extra on Matanos Avyonim. But the question is, why? They never, the fundraising letters usually stop right there. They give you that first line. Anyway, that's the instruction. You got to be marbe even more than Matanos Avyonim. But why? So I think if we thought about it in the past, Freire would have said, well, my taking care of other people is more important than my simcha. That seems reasonable. It's reasonable and it's true. It's just not what the Rambam says. Take a look. He says, "She'ein some simcha gadol mafora el sameich levaniim v'yisom v'amos v'gerim." There is no greater joy. There's no more glorious simcha than making other people happy. Willig pointed out to us many years ago, and perhaps I've shared this insight with some of you in the past. He says, "Note the Rambam didn't say that yes, Masuda and Mishloach Manos will provide simcha, but Matanos Avyonim is more important than simcha." He didn't say that.
He said Matan Zevyonu gives you more simcha than the other two. They're all about simcha. He says, but there's no greater. There is simcha to be had in Sudas Purim. There is simcha to be had in Mishloach Manos, and the simcha that we're obligated to have. That they are chiyuvim. We are obligated on Purim to have a suda and to participate in other people's suda, to enjoy the simcha of those two mitzvahs. But Rambam says, but recognize that the simcha potential of Matan Zevyonim is even greater. Gedola Mephora, greater and more glorious. Nothing, says Rambam, will give greater, more glorious simcha to me than taking care of other people, than bringing joy to other people who are feeling down. Wow, that's interesting. And we're not done, because we could ask the same question again. Well, why? Why is that? Why is it that there's more simcha to be found in bringing joy to someone else as opposed to simcha sakaris? So he says, you know what? You know why the greatest, most glorious joy is in bringing happiness to someone else? Shamisamech levam lalam ha'elo. If there's someone I interact with, I reach out to someone who's feeling crushed, who's feeling down, and I can give him or her a lift. You know what you've done? Matan Zevyonim, you know what you've done? Doma l'shchina. You're emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're becoming a partner in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. She'nemar l'hachayos ruach shefal l'hachayos lev nekama. Pasuk, I believe in Yeshayahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as being interested in reviving, bringing life to the spirit of people who are feeling low, ruach shefalim, ulahachayos, and bringing life to the lev nidkan, to the hearts of people who are feeling crushed. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work, to take care of people who are less happy than me and to share happiness with them. Doma l'shchina. And the Rambam says, and therefore, and that's why it's the greatest simcha. The reason why it tells Zev Yom is the greatest simcha is because there's something divine about what you're doing. Where I will explain it is a simcha sakaris, simcha of the body, is beautiful and appropriate and limited. It's finite. It's bounded. Right? You can only eat so much steak or kale or whatever food brings you joy. Right? There's only so much you can eat. There's only so much you can drink. Right? There's a limit to how much you can eat. Even if you're dreaming of having that cookie dough, the raw cookie dough. Okay, but at a certain point, you run out of room. And at a certain point, it loses its charm. I think for some of our children, like the snow days also have perhaps lost their charm, maybe for a variety of reasons. But a part of it is, you know, physical simcha after a while, you know, being off from school is fun up to a point, but then, you know, after a while, any physical simcha, it reaches its limit, it's diminishing returns. But spiritual simcha isn't bounded, because the simchas hanefesh of taking care of other people, I'm plugging into the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the simcha of being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So if I'm finding joy through plugging into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's limitless simcha. So that's what the Rambam says. It's a very, very powerful Rambam. Please. Excellent point. Excellent point. Well, I'm not sure. I think what you're trying to say, but correct me if I'm wrong. Correct. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'm capturing your question with the following or a corollary to it. Chazal, in addition to Matan Zevyonim, they still also separately mandate Mishloach Manos. It's not enough to just give Matan Zevyonim. I also have to have Mishloach Manos, and I also have to have Sudas Purim. In other words, the Rambam is not saying that we should dispense with and discard, you know, physical joy and pleasure and just have simchas hanefesh. He's not saying that. You need to have both. He's not saying you should only have simchas hanefesh, you should only take care of other people. What he's prescribing, or he's pointing out that Chazal are prescribing, the Chazal from the time of Mordechai Esther, the prescription is a balanced diet, a balanced menu. Simchas haguf and simchas hanefesh, with an eye towards the fact that you want to have both, and reckon at the same time that simchas haguf has its limits. So don't overspend on that, because at a certain point you get diminishing returns. But tzedakah, as long as obviously you're spending responsibly on tzedakah, there aren't diminishing returns in terms of the simcha that tzedakah brings. The more tzedakah, the more simcha. Again, it has to obviously be budgeted reasonably and responsibly. But you want to have more matzos avyonim, but not at the expense of eliminating suda or eliminating mishloach manos. You know, another perspective on Mishloach Manos, the language is Ish L'Re'ehu. There's a perish on Megillas Esther written by Rosh Shlomo Al-Kabbas. Rosh Shlomo Al-Kabbas is most famous to us for being the author of L'Chadodi. But he also wrote a running commentary on the Megillah called Manos Halevi. He was a Levi. That's why Shlomo Halevi is the acrostic of the central eight stanzas of L'Chadodi. He signed his name in the Rosh HaTevis. So he wrote a sefer Manos Halevi on the Megillah. And I think the most famous comment is in the ninth parak. He comments that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is Laharbos Reus. It's meant to enhance and broaden friendship. Ish L'Re'ehu. It's meant to be a friendly gesture. It's not the same what the Rambam said before about the Suda and Simcha, but it does speak to the idea that you're pointing out, that Mishloach Manos is independent. Mishloach Manos and Matanos Avyonim are not the same thing. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right? Mishloach Manos is supposed to be a friendly gesture. Matanos Avyonim are meant to be taking care, bringing joy to people who don't have. You could double dip. You could give... You could be yotze both with one fell swoop, and the Gemara perhaps indicates that. Gemara speaks about, you know, a situation. One version of the Gemara on Daf Zayin Megillah is that there's one fellow gives another fellow Mishloach Manos in a way that they were makayim both Mishloach Manos and Matanos Avyonim. It was a friendly gesture to someone who was in need. You can do both, but you don't need to, because each one is independently valuable. Another thought about this Rambam is that where before we had thought of, well, two of the mitzvahs are really connected, Mishloach Manos is an expansion on the Simcha of Sudas Purim, now there are three under the same umbrella, because Sudas Purim, Mishloach Manos, and Matanos Avyonim are all expressions of Simchas Purim, different expressions of Simchas Purim. You know, different modalities for achieving Simchas Purim. So far, we have two Rambams, and these two passages in Rambams have managed to connect three out of the four mitzvahs. And maybe you know where we're going with the third and final passage in the Rambam, and that is to bring the fourth mitzvah under the same umbrella as well. Take a look. Ah, Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim. Yeah, that's interesting. So let's see how that plays out. We'll have to come back to that as well. The one mitzvah that's now an outlier is Mikra Megillah. But actually not necessarily in the ways that we have been thinking about before. They may be connected. And Megillah, you know, is foodless. Megillah also, so far we've connected the other three as all being forms of Simcha. Sudas Purim and its extension, Mishloach Manos, and their counterpart, Matanos Avyonim. Now let's take a look. Let's take a look. Now there isn't Halal on Purim, or is there? So take a look here. The Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, he spends much of one of the chapters of Hilchas Chanukah on the halachas of Hallel. Hallel and Chanukah and Hallel throughout the year. So he, in Paragim HaLachavav, in the sixth halacha, the sixth paragraph, in his discussion, in the third parak, he gives you the list of 18 days when you say a Hallel Shalim, when you say complete Hallel. Shmona Asar Yom Bashan explained from the Gemara, there are 18 days a year in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz have a few more because of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. In Eretz Yisrael, there are 18 days a year that you say a complete Hallel. Shmona Asar Yom Bashan Mitzvah L'Gemar Ben Asa Hallel. Here they are. Shmona Asar Me'achag, 8 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, 8 days of Hanukkah, the first day of Pesach, when we say Hallel Shalim, and the day of Shavuos. Again, obviously, you pick up another 3 days in Chutz La'aretz because of Simchas Torah, and the last is 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. 3 days. Right? Simchas Torah, the second day of Pesach, and the second day of Shavuos. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, it's 18 days. The other one wants to know, well, what's not on this list? Purim, and what else? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the Rambam, the Gemara said, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they're days of the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim are open. How are you going to say Hallel? The way the Rambam translates that into prose, he says, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, ain bem Hallel. There's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why? Lefi shehen yemei tshuva v'yir ufachad. They're days of tshuva, they're frightening days, solemn days, a lot going on. What to be anxious about over Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and therefore lo yimei simcha yisera. They're not days of overwhelming, excessive simcha. They are days of simcha, but there is joy. There's simcha sant of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and that's why we would not countenance fasting. We wouldn't allow fasting Rosh Hashanah. There's a mitzvah of simcha and Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur we're obligated to fast. Rosh Hashanah, we don't. They're days of simcha, but not apparently enough simcha to warrant Hallel. There's simcha, but then sort of counterbalanced by the seriousness. Whereas those other 18 days are simcha yisera. That's what it sounds like. And then he asks Michal's question: what about Purim? V'lo tiknu Hallel b'Purim. And they also didn't institute Hallel on Purim. Why? Now the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara gives three answers. The Rambam picks one of the three. Shakriyas HaMegillah hi HaHallel. He says, we do say Hallel on Purim, except instead of the standard Hallel, we have a unique type of Hallel on Purim, and that is Mikra Megillah. As an aside, one of the later Rishonim, who was very attached to the Rambam, the Meiri, suggests if the Rambam accepted this answer, he thinks it has halachic ramifications. Namely, the Meiri thinks, if you don't have a Megillah, you ought to say Hallel. Because, he says, let's take this seriously. What we're saying is that through Mikra Megillah, you accomplish Hallel. So much so that if you can't do Mikra Megillah, let's consider whether you should be saying Hallel. Now, but 1 second, we just learned the previous line, that Hallel is meant to be an expression of not only Simcha, but Simcha Yisera. Hallel is an expression of overwhelming Simcha. And how do we do that in Purim? With Mikra Megillah. Meaning, Mikra Megillah is a Hallel. Mikra Megillah, in other words, is meant to be an expression of Simcha Yisera, of overwhelming Simcha. So what we have now is all four mitzvahs of Purim are actually different facets of one core, different facets of one gem, which is Simchas Purim. Chazal expect us, and in designing Purim, they built many different ways that we're meant to plug into and express Simchas Purim. Through personal, physical enjoyment of a Sudas Purim. And hopefully, even if one is busy, navigating the logistics of staging a Sudas Purim, hopefully one also can have at least a few minutes to personally enjoy the Suda as well, to sit and eat and drink and enjoy. And it expands out from there. There's also the fact that I'm through the gift of Mishloach Manos, I'm participating in multiple Sudas Purim at the same time because I've provided towards the Sudas Purim of other people. My Mishach Mas is on their table and vice versa. Other people who aren't physically sitting at my table are participating in my Sudas Purim because their pickles and their salami and their rolls are part of my Sudas Purim. And then that's the Simchas Haguf, the personal Simchas Haguf of enjoying the Sudas Purim and the broadening of that of participating, you know, cross table, so to speak, cross table Suda with through the magic of Mishloach Manos. And then there's the Simchas HaNefesh of taking care of other people, of Matanos HaAvyonim, and of plugging into the model of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that. And finally, there's the, as was pointed out before, it does not require food, doesn't require physical objects, but through reviewing the story of Purim and through proclaiming the story of Purim and through proclaiming the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us and takes care of us in ways that are often inobvious. Remember, the Jews at the time of Purim did not realize that they were living through a miracle. Purim, the Megillah, I think I've made this point in the past, the Megillah stretches over almost a decade of history. There were thousands, maybe tens of thousands of news events over that decade of history. What the Megillah does is it grays out 99% of the episodes of that decade and just highlights 5 or 10 episodes. The story of Vashti and the choosing of Esther and Big Son and Teresh and so on and so forth. So we read the Megillah as like one smooth flow. But no one experienced it that way. These were events that happened a couple of years apart from each other. In retrospect, you can connect the dots. Even that, the Megillah connects the dots for us. It's not obvious. But what that means is just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't obvious doesn't mean he's not involved. That was, after all, the case for the Jews in the story of Chag Purim. There was this like bizarre story with Vashti got eliminated in the middle of a Suda. Achashverosh is off his rocker. And then this like terrible story, this Jewish girl is kidnapped and taken into the royal palace. It was horrible. Hard to imagine what it was like for her family, for Mordechai, for the whole family, for the whole community. Such a tragedy. Esther was kidnapped in the royal palace. And like, and it seemed so senseless for years. It was like nothing. I don't know. She's like stuck there. It just seemed like a pointless tragedy. And then things start getting worse. Haman, this and that. And then all of a sudden, there's a denouement, and everything comes together. And Mordechai was the one who saw. One second. There's a reason for this. Right. Mordechai said, one second, there's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you here. You're not just here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you here for a reason, and maybe this is why. And ultimately, the Megillah takes us all on that journey of let's look at the story with perspective, and let's connect the dots, and sort of gray out all the noise, and just focus on these handful, 5-10 episodes over the course of a decade. All of a sudden, you see Rebbe Shlomo involved. That's Simcha Yisera. That's incredible. So it's physical simcha, it's spiritual simcha of giving, it's intellectually access, and it's drawing simcha from intellectual understanding. There's so many different modalities. It's personal, it's interpersonal. There's so many different modalities of simcha. And again, let's circle back to where we begin. Everything we've spoken about over the last 40 minutes or so is timeless. This is the way Chazal set up Purim a couple thousand years ago. This is the way Purim always is. Maybe we haven't noticed it. We haven't necessarily analyzed it. We haven't looked at the mitzvah of Purim with this perspective. But it's been true for the last couple of thousand years that the four mitzvahs of Purim represent four different facets of Simcha, four different way roots, portals into Simcha, four different ways of giving expression through different modalities. Of Simcha. That's true always. And I think that timeless, perennial reality of Purim might be particularly helpful this year. It's what's always been true about Purim, that Purim is by design offers us and expects of us that we experience Simcha in different ways, express the Simcha in different ways. It's going to be particularly true this year. There may be different ways of, some aspects of Simchas Purim may appeal to us, may speak to us more than others, depending on where I'm at, where my family is at, and where my head is at, and what's going on yesterday, today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this past year. That's Simchas Purim. Simcha, we're meant to, there are different ways in. We'll find the ways in. We'll find the door that opens easiest for us right now to let us into Simchas Purim, and then we can seek to express the Simchas Purim in other ways as well. And I would say in particular, what we were just speaking about a moment ago, of recognizing the Megillah is meant to be Simcha Yisera. Simcha Yisera. Not because the kids are hacking groggers. When you're 8 years old, that's the Simcha Yisera of Megillah. Megillah is for 8-year-olds, but certainly not only for 8-year-olds. Megillah is also for 48-year-olds and 88-year-olds and 118-year-olds. There's much more Simcha than meets the eye of a child. But as adults, we can appreciate much more of the Megillah as an invitation to daily Simcha. The Megillah is giving us lenses, giving us a gift. Talk about manos. Giving us a gift for how to look at life. And we'll close with this. Purim is at the very end. Aruch Chaim, the first segment of Shulchan Aruch, takes you through first the cycle of the day from morning to night, and then the cycle of the week, Erev, Shabbos, and so forth, and finally the cycle of the year, Rosh Chodesh, and then Pesach, and Shavuot, so Omer, Shavuot, all the way until Purim. So Purim is the very end of Aruch Chaim. Getting up in the morning is the very beginning of Aruch Chaim. And it's, I believe, the Chidah who points out that the Ramah begins and ends Aruch Chaim with a pair of psukim, one pasuk at the very beginning, another one at the very end, and there's a word that they share. He opens a perspective on any day of Avos Hashem with Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Samin, to place that Kaddish Baruch Hu before me, to be focused on the Ribbono Shel Yiras Hashem, if I'm living life with an awareness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's presence in my life, it's going to be a transformed life. He closes with Tov Lev, ends Hilchas Purim, and all of Aruch Chaim. Ramah closes with Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid. If I have a good heart, if I have a happy heart, then it's always a party. It's always a simcha. It's always a suda, with the ups and the downs. There can be a suda even when, there's no suda going on, there's a suda inside. So the Chidah talks about Timidin Kesidron, which usually refers to, in the Dav, Yontav Davin, having the two Karbonos Tam, the two daily Karbonos, in their right place. First Karbon of the morning, last Karbon of the afternoon. But the Chidah borrows that term, here it is, Timidin Kesidron, to refer to the way which the Ramah bracketed all of Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim with these two Tamid, the two Timidin. And that there's a lot to be said here. That if there's a Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Samed, the more I put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the center, the more I bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my consciousness, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality in my life, and as we said, the Megillah is a unique opportunity for that, the more I can plug into Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid. The more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in my life, the more Simcha there can be, even in both the ups and the downs. And that's why, as we opened, Purim is a day of incredible Simcha, Simcha Yisera. And it's the Sudas Purim is bigger, better, richer, broader, more multidimensional than any other Yom Tov. And perhaps that's because Purim, more than any other Yom Tov, gives us the chance to not just be Sameach on that day. And it's going to be just, even just from an Erev Shabbos perspective, it's going to be more crunchy, a little more time pressure. Purim gives us the gift of Simcha all year long. The more we can prepare to learn the lessons of Purim, the lessons of noticing Ribbono Shel Olam, and noticing the Ribbono Shel Olam in obvious, that's the way you plug into Simcha that drives the Simcha of Purim, and the many different flavors and modalities, portals of Simcha of Purim, guf and nefesh, and spiritual and emotional and intellectual and gustatory, interpersonal and personal, all those different flavors and aspects and dimensions of Simcha, and it spreads because it spreads in the rest of the year. Because if I can notice that Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just in the razzle-dazzle moments, but in the everyday, to be attuned to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the everyday, Tov Lev, Mishnah Tamid. Thank you so much, Rishitake Bezocha, to a lot of Simchas Purim, and to Yeshua's Nechamas for all of us, for our families, for our Kehillah, and for Klal Yisrael. Thank you. Thank you.